I was ready to schedule.
Council meeting with Kent Beach Town Council in order. And Tim's not here?
No.
Okay. Y'all bow your heads and I'll say a little prayer for us. God, we come to you asking for your guidance, wisdom, and support as we begin this meeting. Help us to engage in meaningful discussion and nurture the bonds of community and grant us your grace as we make decisions that will affect the residents of Kerry Beach. Continue to remind us that all that we accomplish here should be for the good of the entirety of the Kerry Beach community. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Have a second?
Oh, we got to excuse Craig first.
Oh.
Make a motion to excuse Commissioner.
Can't talk up here tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Too much budget stuff.
Yeah.
Make a motion to excuse Commissioner Blazinski.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Approval of consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Adoption of the agenda.
Request we add to old business items 4 for the 17% and 5 for the Sandman property.
And new business number 2, Craig's letter.
And new business number 2, Craig's letter. That's my motion.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. All right. Wes, looks like you're up.
You're in Kerry Beach now.
You're not at all.
Different world.
My name is Wes Moore. I'm with the Wilmington Trolley Company. And thank you for taking a minute to listen to me. But I'll take a few minutes. I did a little slideshow. Basically, the history of the trolley companies, we started in 1998 with one trolley downtown Wilmington. Over the past 16 years, we've added 5 more to our fleet. We still really only operate one in downtown. The rest of them mainly do charter work. What it just says, they have 5 trolleys that offer charter service throughout Southeast North Carolina. Local businesses that already use us, that we have contracts with, are North Carolina Zoe Festival, UNCW, NC State Ports, Beach to Battleship Half Marathon, Cape Fear, Coast CBD, which is a convention center, early concerts, and we do over 300 weddings a year. What we're looking to do down here is provide safe, reliable, fun transportation around Carolina and Kerry Beach. What we want to offer is daily trolley service from 5:30 to 10:30 for the months of June, July, and August. Right now, the proposed price would be $2 per ride per boarding, which means if you get off, you get back on, you got to pay another $2. And the market would be for visitors and locals that need transportation to and from island locations. This is a crude markup of the routes, but basically, we're only proposing one stop in Kerry Beach, and that would be around the pier area. The rest of them are down through, mainly down with Lake Park Boulevard, a stop at the boardwalk. And the only thing that's not on there is that when we were at Carolina Beach last week, they wanted us to stop at Food Line, which we can add that. We're open to any suggestions on stops. And then currently stuff that we're already working with Pleasure Island is that we've been a member of the Chamber for years. We provide trolley service for a Chowder Festival and Island Day every year. We're currently sponsoring a baseball team, which is actually playing across the street tonight, and several soccer teams through the years. We do all the transportation for the Carolina Beach Summer Rec programs and provide a shuttle service for the 150th anniversary at Fort Fisher this year. All the drivers are professional drivers. They all have CDLs with backgrounds. They're all drug tested. That's one of our greatest assets of our drivers. Most of them have been with us for 10 plus years. There's one of our characters at the bottom there. The future, if we can get this to pass, I hope to expand the routes to include all of the island and expand the day and nighttime service and the months that we serve pretty much it.
So, did the police chief have any input?
I haven't talked to anybody yet besides the Carolina Beach Town Council and Chamber, and y'all are next on the list, and we're going to go from there.
Did you want to put a sign up where you stopped at the pier?
It would be nice, and that was something that was discussed last week at Carolina Beach as to whether we can put one up and leave it up, or whether we need to put it up every night when we, you know, as we start our service. I think they were concerned about the state regulations on that.
So you pick it up the last ferry going up, shut everyone out?
And that's what we currently do downtown, too. We put it out in the morning and pick it up in the afternoon.
Is it just like an A-frame sign that sits on them?
That one downtown is A-frame size. What we're looking at now, and it would be up to, you know, your approval, is just maybe have one that just stakes on the ground, somewhere like a little circle that, you know, all the signs would be like uniform.
Right.
Now, the pier would be as far as you would go south?
We're trying to keep it at 30 minutes. So if you're at a stop, you're not waiting longer than 30 minutes. So it'd be twice an hour. That's, you know, up for debate and questionable as traffic. Correct. But right now, that's always stopped, just at the pier.
Mm-hmm. You didn't talk to the aquarium or before?
The hours are actually closed for the nighttime hours.
Night.
Yeah. We talked to them in the past, and they were all for it, but to get way down there, just basically what we looked at was the most movement is at night, after people are off the beach.
Did Carolina Beach give you their blessing?
They did.
Okay. So what approval do we really need to give him, Andy?
I don't know.
We appreciate you coming. I appreciate you coming, but I think if you started driving by the pier...
We don't want to be driving and y'all are chasing us out of town, I guess.
Yeah, right. No, I'm just asking for our attorney. Is there any approval other than saying, yeah, it sounds like a great idea?
That came up last week, too, and they said the same thing.
Yeah.
We're getting our French out of here.
Yeah, no. So,
do you want to grant it for 1 year to see how it goes?
I don't know that we can stop it, so it's just consensus, right?
We can stop a bus being parked in front of the pier.
No, you can't. I don't think you can.
Yes, you can.
How would you
just under
it's
loading?
It's just going to stop.
Yeah, everybody else is loading too. So, yeah.
Yeah, boy, that's for sure.
So one is my. I'm supportive, right? I think it's a great idea. I don't know if I would ride it, but I think it's a great idea. I said ride it. I'm not driving. I know I'm not ever driving, right? So I mean, I'm supportive if that's if we're looking for consensus on council. I support it. Yeah.
And I hope that you know, one day you'll have enough business that you can consider doing it during the daytime, because it would be nice.
We're kind of looking at this year. We've been thinking about it for 7-8 years, so we're kind of looking at this year doing the nighttime, see how it goes, and then expand from there.
Well, you know, we have at least 185-187 people on the island who don't have any means of transportation. Mm. And I know, you know, going down there to the Food Lion would be nice, but I don't know many people who go in the evening.
Yeah.
So hopefully one day you'll have it so some of us can ride to the Food Lion back during the day.
That's the hope for the future, hopefully, for next year.
And maybe even to the ferry.
Yeah, we thought about that as well.
And then you can start one on Southport, so you can take us from the ferry to town. But no, I certainly...
Well, Parks and Recreation's used your service before. So we're all in favor.
Yeah, can you provide information to the town staff so they can put it on the website and stuff like that? I mean, I think we should advertise it because I think it is kind of a cool idea. See how it works out.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And when do you plan to start this?
June 1st. I'll let y'all all know.
Thank you.
And we don't have anybody to address council, so we'll move ahead with discussion and consideration of committee business. Board of Adjustment, Community Center, Marketing Committee, Parks and Recreation, Planning and Zoning.
It's Craig Galbraith, chairperson of the Curie Beach Planning and Zoning Commission. I wrote a document which I believe is in everybody's packet right now. Thought it'd be easier to write it up. I'll kind of go through it, obviously, but kind of put it in front of the council here. Obviously, this is something that the commission on the advice of the council, has been looking at for several months. We've kind of concluded this process and have some recommendations to the council right now. Basically, two recommendations that came out of our April meeting where we voted to have it brought back to the council, basically, with these recommendations. First is kind of the background. There's two points that are on the agenda, and I'll go through each one of the points. I'll talk about the permitting one first and then the ROT after that. In our April meeting, we voted to not develop a separate all-inclusive permitting process for short-term rentals here, but recommends to the town council to follow the process that's already allowed in the state statutes regarding permitting, basically for problem short-term rental properties. And I've went ahead and cut and paste the element in GS-160A-424C. It basically says you can't have a permitting process except for those properties that have more than three verified violations in a 12-month period or upon the property being identified within the top 10% of properties with crime or disorder problems as set forth in a local ordinance. So again, based upon testimony that we had during basically three public hearings, and we did have somebody come to our last commission, which I think was very articulate in terms of the type of problems. I don't see them here. We invited them to come here tonight as to describe the problems of, quote, disorder that are not crimes or reported to the police. And this is somebody who actually lives next to one of the properties, and they went through about a 15-minute litany of the sort of things. One that I remember, for example, is they woke up in the morning and found over 100 beer cans thrown on their patio. Well, that's not the sort of thing that would be reported to the police, but it clearly is a disorder sort of thing. So one of the things that we are recommending to the town council is, well, kind of an observation, is the vast majority of disorder problems are not reported to the police or the town council. They basically go unreported. What we heard several times is that the complainant deals directly with the renters, agents, or the property owners. In this particular case, the agent was very uncooperative. Basically, every time they would call the agent would say, well, we're not in Curry Beach, you know, that's your problem and all that sort of thing. But they also pointed out that when they actually talked to the property owner was very nice about it and tried to correct the problem. So this is just an example of the sort of things that we've heard several times. And as I pointed out, there are many disorder problems that are not crime. Well, based upon the existing state statute, we recommend that the town council consider developing a local ordinance, because you have to define, according to the state statute, what constitutes a disorder related to a short-term rental in a local ordinance before you can do anything about it. So we recommend that the town council consider developing a local ordinance that specifies what constitutes a crime and or disorder problem relevant to short-term rentals. And again, this is clearly allowed under General Statute 160A-424C. And then also, we need a method to track these problems. So those are kind of two issues, because you have to identify the top 10% or whether three are taking place. So if the council does decide to do that, P&Z would be willing to attempt a first cut at the language that might be appropriate, since we've heard a lot of these testimonies on the part of residents. We'd be glad to kind of tackle the language for a local ordinance that specifies disorder problems related to short-term rentals. So the bottom line here is that we're not recommending that there be some sort of an all-inclusive permitting process like what we started, but simply work within the framework that's already allowed under North Carolina statutes. The second is a collection of the room tax.
So wait a minute, before we move on, Rex, so I just want to make sure I understand.
Sure.
So the recommendation for P&Z is to at least investigate a local ordinance that defines what these issues are, right? And so are there local communities, as you've researched this problem, that are already doing this in North Carolina? Not in California, not in Ohio, but in North Carolina?
That I don't know. We didn't. When we started, we weren't aware of this particular restriction. So
right, I understand.
When we were doing the investigation to start, we only found one, for example, in the state of North Carolina, which is a separate town that is allowed under general statute.
Right, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. So we didn't really investigate to what extent people are already implementing this particular statute. That's something we would do, obviously, if that's what
that
you want us to do. That we would look and see what's being done in North Carolina.
And then the second thing, this method to track problems. So I understand citizens came to you and said that, hey, there's all these problems, but we didn't report them to the police.
That was the majority of the comments.
I mean, I have a concern with that, right? So if citizens are complaining about something but not reporting it to the proper people. Is it an issue or is it they're complaining to you guys, right? I don't know the answer. I'm just asking the question, right? So if as council we're moving forward, the tracking process has to be through
police.
Public authorities, right? Which I would say is the police department, right? Or the building inspector. So either the building inspection's office or the police department, because those are the two entities that enforce those type issues. And it's not going to be the neighbor next door says, I've got three problems, so now you guys got to do something, in my mind. And you sort of feel the same way?
Oh, right, absolutely. And clearly, I think you've identified, if that's something that the council wants us to do,
right,
we would not look at California, Florida, because this general statute is here for North Carolina. So
that's
we
right.
clearly look at what other North Carolina communities are doing to deal with this under the general statute as stands right now. I mean, clearly, these are the two issues. You have to define what a disorder is,
and
then you have to be able to track the disorder.
And so in P&Z's discussions, are you guys recommending the council we tell you to do that, or you are apathetic, or you think we don't want you to tell us to do that?
Well,
where are y'all at on the...
What we wanted to recommend is, first of all, we're not recommending all-inclusive permitting. That's
good, because it's illegal.
The second thing is that what we're recommending is that in order to implement what's already out there, we need to have a local ordinance and we need to be able to track it. So, you know, we kind of send that back to you. If you want us to look at what that ordinance should look like and how it should be tracked based upon what's already done in North Carolina, the sort of comments that we've heard, we would be glad to do that. If you want to just end it right here, then that's fine too.
Right? Okay.
We're certainly quite willing to look at these two issues because those are the two issues under the existing statutes.
Okay, well, I would have a couple of recommendations on that. It would be really nice if you guys would take the time to check with other towns or maybe start with the League of Municipalities or something to see whether anybody else already has an ordinance like this. And then second of all, either P&Z or John, check with Dennis, because I'm sure they track those kinds of calls. So they have a tracking system. John might not, and he might be able to develop something similar to what they have. But I'd also like to learn from the police, what kind of calls do they get? What are the majority of them for? You know, is it drunk and disorderly? Is it parking? You know, what are
noise,
the
noise would be a big one.
Yeah, and
right.
noise. And we do have already ordinances limiting noise for certain hours. So if you and maybe working with John could talk to the police chief about
that. Oh, we would be glad if that's something that the council wants us to do. Right. I mean, we would certainly.
That's what I would recommend.
Mm-hmm. But then let's get a point too, and I think council should discuss what we want P&Z to do, right?
Yeah.
So you've got a second point on a different issue, which is kind of more interesting, I think.
Yeah. Point two is an interesting one, because as part of developing this permitting process, we wanted to make sure that people had filled out the form, they were paying their room occupancy tax, and so forth. Well, the process of investigating that is that we found that there's basically a serious problem with the way that the room occupancy taxes are currently collected and accounted for. And I'll just go ahead and read this for the public record, because I think this is important. It says, New Hanover County has been allowing real estate agents and property managers of short-term rentals to simply pay a lump sum for all the properties that they manage, with the only account file registered with the county being the address of the agent. So they don't have separate accounts for each one of the properties that are paying this. The agent or the property manager then simply allocates on the remittance form, and I think I provided in the package what the form looks like, to which towns the tax came from. This procedure creates three major problems. First of all, it's impossible to actually track a payment of a particular property short-term ROT and to determine if the ROT from a particular property was actually paid to the county. This violates a basic auditing principle and creates a window for fraud. I'm not saying that fraud is occurring, I'm just saying there is an opportunity, and that's what we look at when we look at auditing issues. For example, an agent could collect $1,000 ROT each from 10 properties for a total of $10,000 and only pay $5,000 to the county since it was a bundled payment. Individual property owners are then provided an accounting for their property. This is a report from an agent to a property owner, and that's going to happen because of tax reasons.
Yeah.
but does not involve the county. However, it is impossible to track if that ROT payment was actually ever made for a particular short-term property to the county. If, and I just give an example here. If asked by the property owner, the agent could simply say it was paid as part of the $5,000 bundle payment, and since the only address on the file with the county is the agent's office address, there's no way of tracking the actual ROT payment to the actual property that should be paying the ROT. An example is that for Curie Beach, I think there's only about 30, 35 addresses on the file. And we actually have hundreds of properties that are, and again, most of those addresses are property managers or the hotels in the area. Number two problem, since the agent pays the ROT in a bundle, there is no way of double checking on the percentage allocation made to the ROT remittance form between Curie Beach, Carolina Beach, et cetera.
Can I stop you for a second, Kirk? How did you get the number of property locations that were addressed on file?
I talked to the county under law that they cannot provide me how much people are paying for each one of them, but they just simply said these are the properties.
But, so, I mean, if you look at their form, it shows property location. So are you saying they're not filling the form out properly? Because
when you look at the form, there's several ways of interpreting the form. That's what we came out. When I first read it, I thought that, well, this clearly identifies that each property should be identified on the form.
It does.
Be a form for each one of the properties. I mean, that's how I interpret it.
Well, I don't know that there has to be a form for each property, but every property location is supposed to be on this form.
Right, but there's no way of identifying how much of an ROT is associated with each one of the properties.
Right, I agree with that part. I agree with your point.
So what they've done, basically, is because we're not identifying the ROT by specific properties, what they do is they have the address for the, say, the property manager. If they, and a lot of them don't, if they put the properties down there, it may be a list of 30, 40 different properties.
Right.
But they're not allocating the ROT by individual properties.
So did you ask the tax office about that?
Yeah, yes.
And what did they say, man?
They said that they allow people to pay in a bundle sort of way.
Okay, cool. Okay.
And so they can turn in the sheet and not have any properties listed.
Their interpretation is that all they are going to require as of right now, unless they're told to do it differently, is ask the people to pay in a lump sum.
Okay. This one might be for your breakfast tomorrow.
Yes. All right, number two problem, since the agent pays ROT in a bundle and there's no way to double check out a percentage allocation of ROT amendments form between the different accounts, it's very possible that the agent will check the address for their office in that's located in and allocate simply 100%. It's simply up to the agent to do that allocation if you notice on that. They can put 20%, 30%, 100%, or whatever. So if they put 100% because that's where they're located in, that means the other towns don't get credit for the ROT. For example, an agent headquartered in Carolina Beach may manage properties in both Carolina Beach and Curie Beach. However, if they do not allocate the gross receipts to Curie Beach exactly how it should be when they send their bundle payment in, and I talked to people and it was obvious that some of them don't allocate. They just put 100% for, you know, where they're located. Then that particular town is not going to get credit for that ROT. And there's simply no way to check on this right now. I mean, the way it's done, there's no way of checking on it. Final three, and this is a very important one, that given the individual properties are not currently required to have a payment, file account address with the county, is it possible to see if properties that are being rented, if there are properties being rented but not paying the ROT. For example, the vast majority of short-term rentals advertised to an agent or through a non-agent webpage such as AIRBNB or VRBO. If each short-term rental property is required to have a separate account filed with the county, it's easy to see if a rental property is in fact paying the ROT. And we did talk to Mecklenburg, and this is how they do it. You know, they track to see if people are advertising on the VRBO, and then they can go check and see if they've actually been paying or even have a file form. So that's how they, you know, at least Mecklenburg does track this sort of thing. If found, for example, somebody's advertised on a website that their property's for rent, but they don't have an account filed with the property for that address, a town representative could remind that property owner to go ahead and pay their ROT. So basically the recommendation is that the Curie Beach Town Council to consider an ordinance that requires each short-term rental property for Curie Beach to have a separate ROT account by property location within New Hanover County, and that the property owners and or agents pay the ROT identified by the property location. That would solve those problems.
So you're asking them to submit their form individually and not through their management?
Well, they don't even have to submit the form individually. So what they would have to do is when they send their lump sum in, they simply have to list the properties and how much is collected from each one of the properties. And the county then would have to set up an account. That's simply putting it in a computer. But they could simply provide the lump sum and simply say, all right, which would be easy for them to do it because they've got it in their program already because they send that information back to the individual property owner. So all they need to do is just run a list of how much RLT was collected by property, by address, and simply include that list in with the lump sum payment. And the county would just, create a file. It's just a computer file.
Well, that's just it. I'm not sure it would help unless the county actually creates a file.
Well, that's my question. And I don't know that we know the answer, but do we have the authority to tell the tax office how they do taxing?
No, but we can ask them.
We can ask them. So I think it's a good point because I think Brightsville Beach and Carolina Beach will be just as interested as we are in this issue. So I don't think that it's we can do it, but I don't think we can pass an ordinance to make the tax office do something. I think we can work with them to get them to do something, and I think that's what we should do.
I'm guessing, and we did check, and our P&Z attorney did check to see if there was an agreement, and there's nothing, there's absolutely nothing written in terms of the agreement that he could find, but it's his opinion in terms of how the taxing recording takes place, whether, how the form was developed and that sort of thing, is what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Certainly they've given the county the authority to do the taxing.
Right. In North Carolina, all the towns have given it to the county.
Right.
The county tax assessor for
the development form and that sort of thing. He couldn't find any agreement whatsoever on that. His opinion, and again, this is certainly the legal opinion, but his opinion is that you can pass an ordinance that requires properties within the town or managed properties within the town to have a separate file with the county. That's
how
we
enforce
it, that's illegal,
right? So I understand, right? You can pass an ordinance for anything, but we can pass an ordinance saying that this stuff doesn't fall at 32 feet per second. That doesn't mean it's going to happen, right? So the question is, how do you enforce that ordinance? I do agree with your point, right? So I think the first step is for you, Dean, since you're with the whole issue about room occupancy tax, to talk to the other two towns, give them a copy of this and say, guys, do we think we need to get the tax office to do something different? Because if all three towns asked for it, I think they would.
Well, what we've done is we're hearing that the county only has one person that is in charge of, checking this stuff out, and he only does it on a part-time basis. So we're a little bit upset with that.
Right. You are right. I talked to that person.
Yeah.
I went to his office. I'm quite aware of the situation.
Yeah.
That's...
And he's got too much to do to this, and the county's got real slack about collecting these monies.
I believe there's a lot of money being left on the table.
This would be a good discussion before lunch tomorrow.
Yeah, so what I think I recommend is, Dean, you pass this to the other two towns and ask them to think about how we should address it, right?
Yeah.
If we end up with an ordinance, I'm fine with that. I'm just concerned we have an ordinance you can't really enforce, and I don't like that.
This is it came out of P&Z. Obviously, this is not a P&Z issue, but we're passing our information.
No, I think I appreciate it, because if there's room occupancy tax not getting collected, we already have a problem.
And there's no way of tracking it. There's no way of auditing it.
We want to know that.
We have no idea what's being collected and where it's being collected from.
The young lady that is in charge of all the figures for the county.
There's two copies for the other town.
Okay, it's gotten really slack in
Furman
doing this stuff.
So let us know if we need to do something, but talk with the other towns. I think the right approach for this one is to get the other towns involved.
Okay.
I think the tax office will listen. Downtown will be interested as well, I think. Right?
Yeah.
And then can we just add it to the May agenda to rediscuss so Dean can let us know where we're at? Because I don't want this one to drop. I think there's money that, I'm with Craig, we should make sure all the money that's collected in Curie Beach comes to Curie Beach, right?
Right.
Sure.
Thank you, sir.
Let's go back to part one. I still would like you maybe to report back to us in May, working with John and Dennis, to see what kind of system the police have that maybe John can work into, or have something similar, because I doubt if he keeps track of every single one
of those. We could also, if you're directed by the council, we could also see what other towns
and see what other towns are doing.
Yeah, so I'm with Emily. I think we're interested in this one. We want more information.
Sure.
So I think P&Z working on it is appropriate, right? So just don't start another firestorm in the town like the last one, right?
That's right. We have to get an audience somehow.
Yeah, well, you did a good job. I'll give you a good job.
You know, I've got to do this once a year.
So all the emails I saw that say good job, right?
Okay?
Yeah.
Thanks.
You agree?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Here, now here's $2,000 for the other guys.
We're having a Christmas meeting, lunch meeting tomorrow, and we're going to discuss several problems that we have with the county.
She's giving you a napkin. So.
Okay.
Short slack.
Shoreline access, anybody here? Oh, hello.
Hello.
Oh, my. Tony.
We're working on
what?
Yeah, they don't want to use failure.
That's to my fault.
I'm asking for approval for a memorandum of understanding for $900 for Diana Woolley and Grant Reiner to write a county grant for the committee and be paid for out of the committee budget. There's funds in there. It's a $35,000 county grant to do the handicap access at H Avenue that we talked about. This is just the initial pre-app.
Is it a 50-50 or how? What's the?
It's usually a 25%.
And we can do it in kind, right?
Yes.
Well, so we just put that in the budget, right?
At this point, not.
Right. No. Okay.
So we won't know probably until June or July.
Okay.
So
I make a motion we approve.
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Anything else? Okay. Thank you. Discussion and consideration of department head business.
There's two items proposed on the job training policy and proposed revision to the tuition reimbursement policy. These were on your agenda last month.
Yeah.
You selected that each commissioner was supposed to let me know how they felt about this. I heard from Mayor Pro Tem Lambeth, Mayor Pro Tem Zinski, Mayor
Lambeth,
that they were fine with the language in both of the proposed revision and the proposed policy. Commissioner Swearingen stated she was fine with the language, but she wants it to be one policy. Right now, one's in the personnel policy, and I'm just revising it. The other one will be, because of the benefit, the other one is a separate policy in the policy manual. And actually, I said I hadn't heard from Commissioners Hagley or
I told you that I was okay, right?
So I apologize for that.
Well, that's all right. Sorry I didn't tell you again. I'll tell you. So make a motion we pass both policies as presented.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Finance Department. Nothing?
Oh,
I feel fair. Okay.
Yeah, he did all morning. I think he's done.
Building department, John's not here. Fire department, Harold's not here. Police department, Public Works department, no. Discussion and consideration of old business. Nancy, you're up.
Nice.
Revised job description for finance/budget officer.
This is the same situation. This was on your March agenda. I heard from Mayor Lambeth and Mayor Tim Kuczynski who they said they were fine with both job descriptions as they were written. I haven't heard from anybody else.
Anything?
Good.
I'm good.
Okay, you want to do the second one, then we'll vote on them? Or you want to vote on this one?
I'll make a motion we approve the two as presented.
Yeah. Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Uh-huh.
Aye. Thank you.
Mr. Canute is nice. We don't get to hear from the attorney very often.
No.
Wow.
Well, I gotta go down and reread this now.
We have the ordinance that you requested that we do for the planning and zoning. So what I've done is I have amended 2-41, which re
reads as follows. One, the Planning and Zoning Commission shall consist of 5 members who shall be citizens and residents of the town. Two, one alternate may be appointed by the town council who shall be seated as a regular member automatically in the event a member of the board resigns or becomes incapacitated and unable to serve. Adopted as like they have today.
And this was to add, we appointed an alternate and we needed to make the proper changes to the ordinance. Make a motion we approve the ordinance as presented.
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
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 Thank you.
Nice job.
17.5% discussion. Now, everybody up here knows that according to the county, we have to pick up 17.5% of any beach renourishment that is unattainable. And this was an emergency. Okay. This was an emergency proclamation that the county passed. 4 years ago. The 3 beach mayors do not feel that it's fair to tax the citizens of their beaches an extra 17.5% to pay for any shortfall the county has. We're going to have a meeting tomorrow. We're very upset that the county has not put any line item in their budget to address beach renourishment. Now, this says it was a one-time deal and it goes away if we give them enough notice. So tomorrow we're going to discuss this amongst ourselves, and it is my feeling that we should vote no. We should not keep the 17.5% in our budget.
So that agreement was one time as we were trying to deal with an issue, right?
It was to help Carolina Beach out.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so going back to the original proposal, I think is appropriate. We're just going to have to figure out, guys, is there any downside from what you guys talked about?
If the chairman of the county commissioners, let me phrase this.
Let's take a deep breath.
Yes.
Yeah, there, good job. Appreciate it.
The chairman of the county commissioner says that we have no skin in this game, so we should pay the 17.5%. And when I explained to him that it will cost each man, woman, and child in Curie Beach over $500, he still does not see any reason for us to drop it. So I think we should go ahead.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's his one position. Do we know what the other commissioners are? Because it takes three.
The other commissioners, with the budget that the county's going to pass, which they know is going to be a tax increase, would rather us try to readjust the percentages of the sand from the ROT funds.
Yeah, okay, but how do they propose we do?
They don't.
Right, so I mean, that sounds good, but...
We have approached them with a tax on food and beverage, prepared food and beverage tax.
Yeah, that's not gonna pass.
Talked to them about adding a percentage to the sales tax. We're at a stalemate with them. So we think this may force them to do something.
So what do you think, Emily?
I think Dean's on the right track with this.
Okay, I do too. Do you need a motion for that?
I would like a consensus.
I make that motion.
I'll second the motion. That tomorrow at your meeting, you can communicate to the council,
yes,
is not in favor for continuing that agreement.
Right.
And we still want to work to fund sand, but
right,
it should be more equitable. Well, it's like the inlet thing.
I'd stop it right there.
Yeah.
Not.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
No longer that agreement. Don't carry it through.
Fair enough. Okay. Cool.
Thank you. Number 5 is the Sandman property.
Right. So, as the council knows, and some of the citizens may right now, I see a couple of them have been in a bunch of meetings. The mayor and I are working with one of our homeowners associations on an issue of stormwater that we have. The town owns 4 lots that at one time were a stormwater detention or retention pond, according to where you look in the readings, right? So, it's some of both. They got closed when the town got the property. And that homeowners association has 2 ponds that the The ditch feeding their first pond from our beach walk property is very heavily silted up. They've asked, one, as we work through this process, if the town could work with them to fix that ditch. So it's on private property. The homeowner association has an easement, which we're working with them to give the town a temporary easement so that we're covered when we work on it. I talked with Sonny Beaker. He feels that the cost is minimal. It's about 3 hours of time for three of his guys to take the front end, or not the front end loader, the backhoe, thank you, down there and to dig it out 24 inches. We'll also use the town truck to put the spoilage into and take it off. So it's not a big cost issue. The issue is making sure the easements are right. So what I'm requesting from council is permission to direct the Public Works Department to clean out this ditch on private property using public equipment, assuming we get the easement issue worked out to protect the town.
Town, no.
That's okay. That's the information, and ask questions, yeah. Right?
I think, I really can't believe that they can clean that out 3 hours, even with a dump truck there. I mean, I would...
I'm just telling you what Sonny said. He went and walked the property this way. He said it would be minimal cost. He said his issue, the concern is the easement and the fact that
the truck in there.
Yes, right. You can't drive over grass without causing a problem with the backhoe, right? So that's the issue. So his issue is not, it's not a cost issue. It's a the homeowner becoming dissatisfied with the town and the homeowners association because of any damage outside the easement. And so I think I'm requesting council to allow me and the public works director to work with the attorney to make sure the town's protected and then do the work.
Right. Now, Tom, did you have some information this morning that under your new ordinances for the homeowners association that you can go on that at any time?
We've just come through a rewrite of our declaration. Mm-hmm. And the principal battle that we fought over the declaration and its rewrite is to make sure that we have plenty of authority to handle our stormwater system as an entire entity. Mm-hmm. And when we did that, we made crystal clear that our homeowners association has not only the easements that are located on the plat map, which are pretty plain, are explicit, but also the authority to enter on lots in order to do whatever maintenance we need to do. In addition, we put into our declaration a provision where we can delegate that to the town, an easement. So we have the authority to do that. I guess the real question boils down to the legal language of putting together an easement like that. Our view is that we've got the right to do this as a homeowners association, whether the homeowner wants us to do it or not, because we have a permit that the state has given us to manage the stormwater system. We've got to have the power and authority to do the things that need to be done in order to maintain it, repair it, operate it, and things like that. And incident to all of that, when you put it all together, we've got the authority to give you the temporary easement to accomplish what you just laid out.
Right. I understand. I'm not saying I agree or disagree, right? So I'm asking council's permission to work with the attorneys to make sure the town is covered to do the work.
I agree.
So that's part one. So, and I request that's a vote because we're taking public equipment and working on private property. So my motion is that we approve me to work with the attorney, and if the attorney's satisfied, to do the work for minimal expense.
May I ask,
sure,
is Sonny prepared to precede or whatever he needs to do if the easement is torn up by his truck?
No, we're not. Okay. And that's what we got to work through, right?
I don't
when he estimated the job, his estimation was to clean out the ditch. That was his estimation.
Yes. We've got our president here, that's Pat Brennan, and we've got the chairman of our stormwater committee, that's Jim Craig. They're both here. They can answer questions. But my understanding of this is that we will take care of maintaining the lawns and doing things like that.
So can you include that in the wordage that you give the attorney?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm sure Mr. Cummings will handle that.
So that's my motion is you give me permission to work with the attorney and the public works director to do work on private property.
And I would second that.
Okay.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
You don't vote.
Right. Okay. Oh, you came up nice. No. Okay, so he did not vote.
I see.
Right. So second part of that, so this is still a pretty complex issue, right? I think the meetings are being more and more good, so there's a complete notebook which Beachwalk provided the Homeowners Association that is available through Nancy Avery if you want to look at it, that has all the history of this, and it's a pretty long story, right? So bring your coffee if you want to look through it all. I don't know where we're going to get it up, so this morning we talked about it in the budget meeting. It's going to be a while before it all settles out, but I'll be coming to you periodically with updates and recommendations to unwind this so that, if you remember, one of our goals was to define what we can do with the Sandman property. I think to do that, we need to reach agreement with the Homeowners Association on what the responsibilities of the town are, and we all have to agree to this. Yes?
Excuse me, Commissioner Hagler. Actually, you all need to do a vote to...
Excuse him. I make a motion to excuse Commissioner Pagley from voting since he lives in the Homeowners Association.
Second. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you for keeping us straight down there.
Yes, thank you.
Ma'am and sir, right?
We were going to do that.
Yeah, well, we got to do it right, right?
Okay.
So anyway, so I'll be coming back to council with updates as we go. We're continuing to meet. At the current point, we're going to fix this issue, and then we're waiting for the Homeowners Association to define their plan to fix everything and see what parts of that the town and them will agree that we should work on together. So that's where we are. Is that a pretty fair assessment, ladies and gentlemen?
Great. I think it is.
Okay, thank good. You. Good. Cool. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And thank you for all the work you're putting in this.
Sure.
Appreciate that.
Thanks.
Discussion and consideration of new business. Adoption of resolutions R15-03 opposing Senate Bill 369 that proposes decreases in annual sales tax revenues for the town. And I'll let Ms. Swearingen.
Okay. Oddly enough, the sample I went by was the same one that Nancy and Nancy went by. I just requested a couple of changes, and I'll read this, but mainly I included our tourists in here because a lot of our, if not all of our, sales tax dollars go toward things that also benefit them, fire, police, infrastructure, whatever. So, resolution opposing Senate Bill 369, whereas the town of Curie Beach is a public entity established under the laws of the state of North Carolina, and whereas the town serves as many as 400,000 to 700,000 tourists per year, and whereas the town relies heavily on sales tax revenues to provide services to include those necessary to provide for the health and safety of its residents and tourists, whereas the Senate Bill 369, as proposed, will result in the town potentially losing over $454,000 in annual sales tax revenues, resulting in a projected 55.6% decrease as compared to projected collections under the current law, and whereas the town would have to increase the property tax by approximately 5.75 cents per $100 in valuation, which is a 22% increase, to replace lost revenues as a result of Senate Bill 369 in order to continue providing services required to protect the health and safety of our residents and tourists. And whereas Senate Bill 369, as proposed, would result in a 22% increase to the property tax, placing a burden on our residents, now therefore it be resolved that the Curie Beach Town Council strongly opposes Senate Bill 369 due to the detrimental effect this proposed bill will have on the town's ability to provide for and protect the health and safety of our residents and tourists, adopted by the Curie Beach Town Council this 21st day of April.
Thank
2015.
You. Thank you. As y'all may or may not be aware, the mayors of the beach towns, Leland and the county commissioner chair, and the mayor of Wilmington all met. We did a TV interview that discussed this, and unfortunately, the young man who's in charge of, he's actually the liaison for the town of Wilmington to the legislature, did not send this to them, so we want to try to send one to them before it gets too late. Thanks.
Make a motion, we approve.
That second?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Under commissioner's items, David has a letter from Mayor Pro Tem Craig Belinsky.
Yep. So the council has this, but basically it's dealing with the parking lot, the temporary parking lot that the town leased last year. So I'm just going to read it for Craig, right? He contacted Lance Lazarus, the owner, to renew the lease for the parking lot downtown. After several communications, he agreed to the same terms, but wanted the lease to cover all his taxes. Basically, that would be an increase from $7,500 per year to $7,905.47. Craig believes this is reasonable and recommends to the town. Last year, the town contributed $2,000 to that and the lot prep, and then the business owners and merchants raised the additional $5,500. And so he would like council's permission to continue working with the merchants to have this lot available again this year as long as it doesn't sell. So that's the first thing. The second part about the lot was regarding traffic flow. So there had been requests for allowing an exit from that lot onto 421 with a right-hand turn only. He met with both the public works director and the chief of police discussing this, as well as the local merchant and Tony Gonsalves of the slap chair. All three had concerns, so Sonny felt that it could be done. Both the chief of police and the slab chair pointed out that even though you said right turn only, people would attempt to turn left from there and basically clog traffic up at the stoplight. So they basically recommended not changing that, and he agrees with them. So his recommendation is not to change that and to continue to have council approval to work with the merchants to release the lot. The lot expires May 30th, so we kind of need to give him permission to get that finished. And I make a motion that we direct Mayor Pro Tem to continue work forward on that. Arlen has it in the budget.
Second.
You want to say something, Steve?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Very well.
She seconded.
Yep. I have a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. That's all the business to come before this commission tonight. So,
you want to make a motion?
I'll
second that motion.
All Mr. in Mayor? Favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye. I'll say no.
Oh, well, you can still say no after you make the motion. You can still say no. You can say no.
Do you sleep?